Good afternoon. Welcome to Hometown Alaska. This is Charles Wolforth, your host this week. Our topic is something you may not have heard about, or you may already have a strong opinion about it. UAA is building a new sports center, an arena that will hold more than 5,000 for the Seawolves to have their basketball and the other sports, and then also to hold graduation and to be a major addition to our community in terms of the capacity for big events. The new center is going to be located on campus at the corner of Elmore Road and I believe it's University Drive, and a lot to learn about it. This thing has been funded. It's ready. They're ready to break the ground this fall. And I've got two guests who know a lot about it, have worked a long time to see this day come to pass. And we're going to learn what the project is and get your calls, your questions about the project and its benefits, its impacts, and whatever you want to talk about. So in the studio with me, I have Dr. Steve Cobb, who's athletic director at University of Alaska Anchorage.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
And another Steve, Stephen Erland, who is a kind of a super booster for UAA, has Seawolves who are children. He tells me that he went to college too long ago to actually be a Seawolf himself, but he should certainly be an honorary one with all the support of Great Alaska Shootout and other activities. Thanks for being here, Steve.
Charles, good to be here.
So to start out with, Dr. Cobb, what is give us an outline of this building. It's $109 million. What is it in terms of the magnitude of compared to your old sports center, and then the other one everyone's familiar with, the Sullivan Arena?
Well, it's about a 200,000 square foot building, and it's going to house all of athletics. You know, our business offices, our coaches, our trainers, locker rooms for everybody. It will serve not only our athletic teams; it will serve for student recreation. It'll also serve our academic areas, and it's going to be a very popular community use building. I'm not sure that the community use part really won't outweigh the athletic part, but it's a state-of-the-art. It's designed to be big enough to do a lot of things and last a very, very long time. We're just excited about it. I mean, the 55-year history of UAA, nothing has ever been built for athletics. Everything has been a make-do situation. What we're in now was built as a rec center for a small community college. Literally, the only thing that's ever been built for athletics was the Sullivan Arena when our hockey team moved in there. So we've got 11 varsity sports, and they've been fabulously successful academically and competitively, and we're looking forward to giving them a better chance to compete and be successful with quality facilities.
So when people go to our large events like the Shootout, they'll be going to campus rather than going to the Sullivan, and it'll become a real community, a center of the UAA, I would imagine.
Well, at this point, we plan to leave the Shootout.
Oh, really?
At the Sullivan.
Okay.
Yeah, but we did. One of the driving factors to make it large enough is that we could bring the Shootout there if it works out. The Shootout's a little different duck. But, yeah, we're going to be hosting a lot of different and varied events. And you're going to be able to park, and you're going to be able to have a comfortable seat. Those have been the bane of Seawolf fans for years, trying to find a parking spot and then having to sit on hard benches. So it's going to be a first-class facility, and I think the community is going to be really pleased, and it's certainly going to transform our campus.
Well, can you sort of compare it to the Sullivan? I mean, the Sullivan is just it's sort of a big bowl for watching a single event. It sounds like there's a lot more going on in this building. How does it compare to the Sullivan in other ways?
Well, it's the Sullivan Arena was designed to be multi-purpose and just to do all kind of things. We certainly are going to have multi-purpose ability, but not to that degree. This building is being built specifically to be a college arena and all that that entails, which does include graduation, does include concerts, things of that nature. We certainly believe some of the high school playoffs will be there, and it's a more specific use function because we can see out into the future really of what we're going to be, where the Sullivan Arena has to be more flexible to change with the times. I mean, when the Sullivan Arena Sullivan Arena building was built, concerts were big business. Concerts have taken a hit in the last few years, and that whole industry's changed, so they've got to be able to be more flexible We think our use for the next 30 years, we're pretty comfortable about what we're going to need and how it's going to be used. Mm-hmm.
So the new arena, which I guess doesn't have a name yet, it's 5,600 seats. How many do we have in the Sullivan?
Well, depending on the event and the configuration, mm-hmm. we've had over 9,000 in for the shootout, mm-hmm. and I think they can even do better than that on some concert configurations, and mm-hmm. I think hockey's around 6,600. So
both
buildings will be event-specific as to actually how many people you can get in
so
the building.
We're not duplicating it. We're doing something really different out here.
Oh, it's very different. You know, we've talked with SMG from the beginning. There are a couple of things they have that we will probably get, but for the most part, we're a mid-size venue, and they're, for Alaska, a large venue. We don't see, nor does SMG see a problem with this type. There's really a void of a quality mid-size arena in Anchorage. And again, it was geared, you know, first and foremost to our university's needs, and then where we could meet others' needs, we did that as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. Our topic today is the new sports center that is being constructed. It's in the design process now. It's been funded. The cost is $109 million. It will be groundbreaking this fall. So this is coming right down the pike, and it's time to learn what it's all about. If you have questions and you're calling from inside Anchorage, our number here is 550-8433, with questions, comments, just get in on the conversation. If you're calling from outside Anchorage, there's a toll-free number, 1-888-353-5752, and we love getting emails. We'll read them on the air, hometown@alaskapublic.org. Well, my other guest today is Steve Nerland, who is a name which should be known to anybody who's lived in Anchorage any amount of time, a real family that's been a pillar of our community for a long time. And I guess you've been a sports fan of UAA Athletics for a long time. Where did the how long ago did people start thinking about the need for a new arena, and what was sort of the impetus behind it, or the desire? Where was it coming from?
Well, I think from the university's perspective, athletic facilities has been on the UAA master plan for many years. Several years ago, we got some visionaries in the legislature that thought it would be a good idea to start the process of planning, and that got moved forward. At that time, Representative Kevin Meyer helped get $15 million for planning and site location done. And then more recently, Chancellor Ulmer really championed the effort within the UAA community, and with, again, visionary help from those in the legislature, Representative Bill Stoltz, tremendous. Senator Johnny Ellis, big supporter of UAA, helped guide it through a process. And through Proposition B, which a number of us were involved in last November, a good portion of the arena was funded, as well as lots of other educational projects around the state.
So that was that statewide educational bond.
Statewide education bond, mm-hmm. which passed almost 60%. And mm-hmm. as we know, that's almost a landslide in Alaska.
Right.
That funded a lot of educational projects around the state, including a good portion for the arena. And then there was a plan to go back to this year's legislature with a capital request to complete the arena as the UAA Athletic Administration and UAA Administration felt that it needed to be as the mid-size arena at 5,600.
So upping the size. Originally, I guess it was funded at a 3,000-seat arena?
Right. And one of the things that those community people involved in is graduation on campus has never taken place at UAA, or at least probably did years and years ago, but not with a 15,000 student population and a growing population.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my mind, that was a critical factor, is why would we build a community arena on UAA if it couldn't host graduation? And then the opportunity to bring other high school graduations on campus. What a great recruiting tool, not really just for athletics, but for the university itself, to bring people on campus, expose them to all of the things that UAA offers as our hometown university, And so those are critical elements. The basketball and the volleyball and all the other sports, that's important to a lot of people, including myself, but the availability of a campus center that would accommodate a very large university. As I mentioned, you know, there was new UAA when I'm pretty old. when I graduated from high school, but it's evolved over the years. In the last 10 or 15 years, has really become not only a large major university, but an economic driver in our community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you were the leader, or one of the leaders, of this group, Complete the Arena, which we've got linked on our website at alaskapublic.org. Along with a map of where the arena is going to be, a photo or a rendering of what it will look like, some articles about it, and some details that listeners can get in on. As a sports fan, as a supporter of UAA athletics, for you personally, what were the factors that made you think, wow, we really need a new arena? Was it like Dr. Cobb is saying, that the hard seats you had to sit on, or what?
Well, it really... It's an evolving process for me, is recognizing that what we have, although terrifically maintained, was totally inadequate for our university in terms of not only sports, but for student recreation. I have a son who graduated from UA, was a PE major. He didn't have very many classes in the Wells Fargo because it was being used all the time. Mm-hmm. And also being involved with the schools like you, I've been to every high school in Anchorage, and every high school in Anchorage has more workout facilities and a larger gym and more gyms than UAA. Every single public high school, even our most newest high school, Eagle River, has more athletic workout facilities than our 15,000 student university, hometown university.
So we fell way behind.
We fell behind. Totally, totally inadequate, well-maintained, but totally inadequate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want to go to an email question that we've got. I think this one is best directed to Dr. Steve Cobb, the athletic director from UAA, asking, what is the timeline for starting construction, completing the project, and opening for business? Good basic question.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now they're telling us, and when I say they are talking about the architects, we're going to break ground and do some site work this fall, and construction will begin in earnest, or as they say, next spring, you'll see steel and glass going up. They believe right now it's a 24-month project. Yeah, optimistically, we're hoping we will be in it in the fall of 14.
All right. And we've talked about some of these aspects of recreation. I guess everybody focuses on recreation and education. Everybody focuses on the spectator sports. But you're trying to do more for the typical student to recreate and get involved in sports in the center. What kind of facilities there? Like more open gym, that sort of thing? Or?
Well, there'll certainly be more of that, and it will be used immediately. We're also planning a student recreation center only.
Oh, really?
For the future. We've just gotten so far behind. We don't have enough for our recreational users. We don't have enough for our academic users. We don't have enough for our athletic users. We don't have enough for the community. I mean, the need has just been overwhelming. This chips away at it. This takes a big chunk. But we're still going to be looking at a recreation center for a school our size. We're probably the largest school in the nation that does not have a rec center. You know, we're north of, I think, 18,000 students now. And we don't have a dedicated recreation facility. That's just totally unacceptable. And the leadership at UAA realizes it, and we just got to catch up in steps. There is a bigger plan than just this building. But for the time being, you know, when we move out of Wells Fargo and the new building will be shared with athletics, recreation, and academic, because we still won't have enough, but it'll be a lot better. We'll have more opportunities. Mm-hmm. Our intramural program would quadruple overnight if we just had space and time for them. So we're excited about those things, but this is one project to get going in the right direction. It certainly doesn't solve all the problems.
Is it part of the movement that we've seen at UAA to be less of a commuter campus and more of a live-on campus, more of a feeling of a state university, run getting away from the community college feel of the past? Is it sort of part of that evolution, do you think?
Absolutely. It's just no question about it. And that's part of the site location. There's a lot of reasons we chose the site, but the dorms being right over there and more dorms planned in that area, that was all part of that thought. And we have in the last 10 years. I've been at UAA 11 years now. And it's amazing what a difference campus mm-hmm. we are. I often tell people, I don't have the same job I applied for. It's just the school is moving, in my opinion, in the right directions. We've had some tremendous leadership in recent years, some great vision, and then we've had support from the community and the state. And people are going to be surprised. If you hadn't seen UAA lately, you really haven't seen UAA.
Yeah, yeah. So just getting into a few of the project details, I understand you're not going to be having hockey there. Mm-hmm. And are there going to be swimming pools? Or what are some of the – I guess let's take the hockey issue. Why no hockey?
Well, there is – we never say no to hockey. we love our hockey program. You know, initially we were asked, directed to say, present to the school what you need. And we did. Mm-hmm. And we had a conceptual design that was two venues, one roof. To make a long story short, the size of the project just scared everybody to death. They were afraid it couldn't be funding. We had to make a decision of which would come first. We know we need both facilities. Well, the simple fact is this building serves directly 10 of our 11 sports. Mm-hmm. And the ice rink would serve hockey. And to be fair, it'd get a lot of community and youth use as well. But the decision was made, something has to come first, and I was involved in that process. There's certainly not one person who made any of those decisions. We don't do things that way. We don't have fiefdoms and dictators. But we knew we had to serve the greatest number of teams and students first. And quite frankly, as bad as our facilities are and as inadequate as the Sullivan has become in some areas, the Sullivan Arena serves hockey better than the Wells Fargo serves anything else that we have. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It wasn't a decision of favoring one sport or another, one group of kids over the other. It's just getting the biggest bang initially to take pressure off so many areas. Mm-hmm. But I can assure you, people need to stay tuned. You're going to hear things like ice rink, and they're going to hear things like recreation center. And we believe there's a lot of support out there. And we're not talking long term. We're talking in the near foreseeable future.
You're not done yet. Okay. What about swimming? Is that going to stay at the Wells Fargo? Or
for now, mm-hmm. yeah, there's no swimming pool in this project. And when we get to the recreation center, the decision is going to have to be made whether to keep the pool and redo it. It's past its useful life. It needs to be tiled, mm-hmm. or put in a new one. But there's going to be a pool on UAA's campus. Mm-hmm. I believe the university is committed to that.
Sure. And if a few years ago, I don't remember how long ago, but there was an issue about Title IX, the women's and men's equality, and mm-hmm. some problems with your locker rooms not being equal. Is it this project take care of that problem, or has that already been addressed?
Well, the answer is yes to both of those. We did have a Title IX complaint. It's been inaccurately called a suit. We were never sued. We went into a process called voluntary resolution. And in the course of that process, we determined a couple of areas where we were inadequate, and we addressed them. And the biggest thing was locker rooms. We had our female athletes doubling up and tripling up, and our male students weren't having to do that. So that was an inequitable situation mm-hmm. that, as probably knew, we had a long time. And then also, as part of that process, we determined we were short of athletic trainers, and we hired a new trainer to make sure everybody had the same medical care and fixed the locker rooms. On this building, we were able to design in from the start. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Title IX is not going to be a problem for us in the future. And it's never been a problem for us philosophically either. It was just a problem it was a lack of facilities and trying to put too much into one building. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we built some locker rooms to get by that. And it's real easy when you're designing a building to make it equitable. So we're not right. expecting any problems there.
Starting from scratch, yeah. Well, the show is Hometown Alaska. We're talking about the new UAA Sports Center. It's been called a community arena. We don't know what do we know what the final name is going to be, or is that still to be determined?
I think that will be determined at a future date.
Uh-huh. We might get into that because, you know, Wells Fargo obviously gave money at some point to get their name on the old Sports Center. Is that sort of something you anticipate would happen this time?
We're certainly anticipating naming rights, and, mm-hmm. and it's our hope that we have an endowment called Seawolf Legacy, mm-hmm. which is the athletic department's answer, kind of like our permanent fund.
Mm-hmm.
We would want all the money from that to go into that fund to protect the quality of Seawolf athletics for future generations, and sort of make us not a target every time there's budget problems. If you kind of have your own endowed funds for scholarships, that's it's fiscally responsible, and you can grow a better department. So we do anticipate talking to somebody about naming rights and growing our scholarship fund with that money.
Well, I have a bunch of questions about that, but I want to give out the phone numbers. Good idea to call in the first half of the show. Everyone calls at the last 10 minutes and we can never get them on. If you're within Anchorage, 550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, 888-353-5752. Hometown at alaskapublic.org if you send an email, which is a good way to get your comments in. My guests today are Dr. Steve Cobb, who is the athletic director at University of Alaska Anchorage, Steve Nerland, who is a strong supporter and community activist who has worked on getting funding for this new center that's being built. And my name is Charles Wolforth, and I'm your host this week in our revolving group of hosts. So I'm just going to go back to Dr. Cobb for a minute for some of the money aspects of this. Do athletics in some sense, I know in some big schools outside, athletics aren't actually a profit center. They make money from it. They've got their teams on TV and so forth. You sell tickets for some of your more popular games, but do you make money, or do you bring back some of the money that is being spent on the athletics? How does that work at UAA?
Yes, we don't make a profit in athletics. And consistently in the country, you're looking at 20 to 25 schools that really actually make a profit. Mm-hmm. And the common denominator there is 100,000-seat stadiums and playing football in the fall. But you know, we're a university. We're not a business. Our chemistry department doesn't make money either.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
We want to have chemistry. So we do recoup. The last time I checked a few years ago, we were generating 63 cents of every dollar we spent, which for Division II and with our exorbitant travel expenses, is pretty efficient. It makes us a pretty good bang for the buck for the university. But college athletics is like a lot of other departments. It's an investment. It adds the vitality and enthusiasm to the campus life. And
mm-hmm.
And our athletes are graduating at an enormous rate. So it's working for the university right now, mainly because our coaches are able to recruit and attract a very high caliber, high character student athlete to our program. And we just couldn't be more proud of them than we've been the last few years.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to go to a caller now. Linda is calling with a question about soccer. Linda?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And I just want to say that I totally support this new facility. I think it's wonderful for the university as well as our community. Having been involved in soccer for many years, I'm not sure if you're aware, Steve, but that there are almost three times as many soccer players in Anchorage as there are any other sport, hockey, baseball, anything. And one of the, you know, kind of discouraging things about soccer is that if, you know, any of these young people want to play during college, they have to go someplace else. Now, things have improved greatly with the Dome, with what's happening at Kincaid and with the soccer clubs actually getting involved in helping to maintain the fields that we do have. But, and I think I've asked you this question before, are we going to have any soccer facilities? And if not, what can we do to have soccer facilities?
Dr. Cobb?
Okay. I am very aware of the vibrant, enthusiastic hockey community, and not only
soccer.
Hockey's pretty vibrant, too. We've had discussions with some of the soccer leadership. The first thing everyone needs to know is in Alaska, you cannot adopt a sport without Board of Regents approval. The Board of Regents have to approve a sport, and because of our location, they have to approve a lot of money too. The last time we ran the numbers, it would be cost us about $500,000 per year to run a quality NCAA Division II soccer program. I do think it's terrible that somebody who wants to stay in Alaska, who's a soccer player, has to go out, and a lot of them do go out and they get scholarships. I think soccer is in our future. Right now, I haven't given a lot of thought to facilities because the dome existing would be ideal for us, and we have a great relationship. We were the first tenant ever at the dome. We actually signed on to be a tenant before it was built. So that would be an ideal situation. It'd be very appealing to our visitors, which is also very important when they have to come so far. We are aware there's a lot of enthusiasm. I think you need to talk to the Board of Regents and maybe even some of our legislators and let them know that this is a need people are concerned about. There's no question that it's a need, and as a state university, I personally feel our first obligation be meet the needs of our own state. We were founded by the people of Alaska to serve those needs first, and I believe it's in our future, but I'm just not sure of a timeline. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you have 11 competitive programs. So is that typical for a university this size or less than most would have if you went outside and looked at a similar size university?
Oh, it's much less.
So we, if we were to, again, continue to grow in that direction of a state university, we'd probably add more, in your opinion.
Well, I think it's coming. The challenge is the cost. The average NCAA Division II institution spends about 17% on travel. We spend right at 40% of our budget on travel. And so everything costs us thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of dollars more than our competitors just by where we are. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be very thoughtful in what you offer and how you offer it and how you grow it. And it comes down to commitment. It's just simply a financial commitment. And we've made it in hockey. We've made it in basketball. We certainly made it in ski and gymnastics.
And volleyball,
absolutely. And I don't think there's any doubt that soccer would be well received by our community and the state. And we just got to let people know that we're tired of exporting our talented, gifted young people outside.
All right. Thanks, Linda. Does that answer your question?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. I want to turn again to Steve Nerland, who's here as a community supporter of the athletic program. And we've been talking a little bit about money, and I guess there's ways to bring in community funding, like selling naming rights to an arena and so forth. But it also sounds like it's costly to run these athletic programs. What's the argument in your mind for why it's important enough to build a big arena and spend this money on travel and the other things, as opposed to, say, an academic program or something else? Why do it?
Well, I think Dr. Cobb said it well, is that a state university of the size at UAA, athletics itself and the teams represent a lot for our community. The opportunity for students throughout our state to participate in our athletic programs and be involved and follow the Seawolves, the hometown team, in a variety of sports. You know, Dr. Cobb didn't mention, you know, that we have a very successful track team. They have never had a home meet. They travel, all of their competition is outside of Alaska, and that's because we don't have a track that is NCAA approved in the state of Alaska. Someday we hope to have that here, so that maybe we could pay to bring a team, a track team up here. And of course, track teams are big in general, but it's some of those things that are a part of it. I too think soccer would be a terrific addition. We just have to figure out how to fund it. And of course, the other things that are a part of that is finding a conference that would buy into, instead of sending their teams from Bellingham down to Lacey, Washington, they got to get in an airplane and pay $500 or $600 per player to send them up to Alaska to play. We also have some timing issues regarding soccer, as far as when the soccer season is and when our outdoor availability is, and so that's why the dome represents
but
a really
great
opportunity.
But in the bigger picture, it's a sense of creating an identity for the university and making it its roots. People may not even remember as a community college, and it's sort of still growing.
And it still is growing. And, you know, from the community standpoint, there is going to be a tremendous opportunity to take advantage of the facilities, to use it for a lot of state championships, basketball state champions, volleyball, a whole lot of events that right now, the Sullivan Arena, between Seawolf hockey, the Aces hockey, and other events, there's limited weekend dates. We've been an active, UAA has actually hosted some smaller high school basketball tournaments, but they outgrew the Wells Fargo Arena. So they would really like to have the opportunity to play in the Seawolf Arena, the community arena, or what it ends up being. For those students from outside of the Anchorage area in rural Alaska and come to Anchorage. And, of course, that's great for our community because those teams bring a lot of visitors to our town and help our hotels and visitor industry, too. Mm-hmm. And usually it's in the off season. It's not in the summer. High school championships are usually contested mostly January, February, March, April.
All right. Well, we're gonna take a quick break here on Hometown Alaska. When I come back, I'm going to give the phone numbers and contact information to give us your questions and comments about the new arena. We're going to take up the topic of the location of the arena, parking, traffic, all those knotty issues. So stay with us here on Hometown Alaska on KSKA.
Listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. If you missed part of today's program or would like to listen again to Hometown Alaska, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
We're back on Hometown Alaska. My name is Charles Wolforth. I'm your host today. Our topic is a new arena, which is going to be built starting this fall on the UAA campus. And it's going to provide, as we've talked in the last half hour, with a lot of new opportunities for athletics and sports and a certain amount of recreation. And it's already funded, and the design's almost done. And you can go on our website and see a picture of it at alaskapublic.org. And in this half hour, I want to talk a little bit about where it's being sited and some of the community issues around that and get your input and thoughts. So to get on the show, it's quite easy. Call 550-8433. That's 550-8433. If you're calling from outside of Anchorage, you can call 1-888-353-5752. And we take email comments and questions as well at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And I want to call your attention to the website because we've got some handy links there, including some coverage of the arena from the Anchorage Daily News, some backup material from the state of Alaska in their funding of the arena, which gives a lot of detail. Also, the website of the advocacy group, which is represented by one of my guests today, Complete the Arena. And then finally, also handy, a map from the Anchorage Daily News that shows where the arena will be located. I've got two guests today. Steve Nerland is a supporter of UAA Sports, who spent a lot of time lobbying and rounding up the $109 million that was needed to build this thing. And Dr. Steve Cobb, who's the UAA's athletic director. Now, Dr. Cobb, the location that's been selected is there at the corner of Elmore and University Drive. As you said, it's next to the dorms. It's also along one of our most controversial roadways in Anchorage that we've been fighting over for decades. Sometimes called Bregaw Extension, it's now called Elmore. And there's a lot of concern that I've heard that, well, this makes the extension of Elmore / Bregaw through the campus inevitable because to get cars to this new arena, we'll simply have to do it. And I guess just to start with, what are your thoughts about the traffic circulation? And do you agree with that Elmore is simply going to have to be punched through when the arena is built?
Not according to our traffic studies. I know that the extension is highly controversial. The APU's involved, mayor's involved, of course, UAA's involved, and we have others that handle those kind of things. That's not an athletic issue. We did our traffic studies based on the number of seats we have in the arena and the existing roads plus our improvements. I know this will be controversial too. We got to add a couple of roundabouts. There's going to be a cut through. Providence is widening one road. There's a lot of improvements that were made to the existing structure, and it will work, according to our traffic engineers, without that going through. And then, of course, if it goes through from an event traffic standpoint, it would just be better. But I'm really not in a position to hash out all the political issues of that. We have a deal that will work. You know, when we have a big event, is it going to be crowded for a little bit before and after? It is. And then that's the nature of events. But it's going to work, and it's going to have flow to it. And we're very good partners with Providence, and we're doing it together. And it's going to be a very good solution, whether the extension goes through or not.
So you feel you just don't need that. It would make it easier, but you don't need it.
Absolutely, we don't need it. If that was an absolute deal breaker, we wouldn't have this site because there's just too much to be determined on that.
I see. Now, what about the parking situation? Are you going to be building a garage, or was the site large enough to have surface parking for everyone?
You know, that's very interesting. I told you we were working very close with Providence. Early on, Providence shared with us that they needed some more parking during the day. And we shared with them that our heaviest parking was going to be at night. Well, one of the reasons this site got picked is right across the street, they have two parking garages with about 1,200 spots in them. And we made a deal that they could use our surface parking during the day at no charge. And then after 5 o'clock, they would turn those garages over to us. I mean, that was a great solution for us and them. And it saved us about $20 million. So the parking's going to be good. We're building in excess of what code is. I think the worst case scenario on a big event, we can handle everybody, and the farthest anybody would be away would be a 6-minute walk. And the vast majority of events, you're going to be able to park within a 3-minute walk. Mm-hmm. And given the weather we have sometimes during the winter, that's important. Mm-hmm. And having access to Providence Garage and being able to make, we actually have a written agreement with them. That was one of the real bright spots in the planning process, to be able to work something that out. And just to use a cliche, it really was a win-win for us and Providence. And we plan on having a very positive working relationship for them for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. So the center will be there, and presumably have some pretty large surface lots around it as well, because it will have some of its own parking, but then you'll also utilize the garage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What about public transit? Do you anticipate any changes in terms of shuttles or getting people there that way?
We do. On specific events, we have people working on that plan now, either whether it's public or our own. We run a pretty good shuttle service ourselves. And that certainly is going to be incorporated into it on big events where we're expecting large crowds in order to provide a good service to our constituents.
Mm-hmm. Now, that corner now just looks like trees. When it's done, no trees? Or what is the vision of the appearance of the building?
Now, we're actually going to save a number of trees. We're tree conscious at UAA. Mm-hmm. In fact, we've been designated a tree campus. There'll be a lot of trees have to go, but around the edges, we're going to try to leave a buffer, and we're going to save as many trees as we possibly can. We have no desire to go in and clear cut and then come back and landscape. We've got a pretty good plan about what's got to come out and what's going to stay, but I think the citizens are going to find it aesthetically pleasing from the very beginning. It's not going to be a barren hole over there.
All right. Well, that's sort of the Alaska tradition, is to level it first. Just joking. Steve Nerland, you had a comment?
I had Chancellor Ulmer appointed myself and a number of other folks to the original site plan evaluation team, and they had a significant number of engineers and architects and university personnel, and address some issues on the arena regarding sustainability, regarding parking, regarding traffic flow. And I want to even comment that all of the traffic standards have all met the municipality standards. It's not just UAA standards, municipality standards for transit, and also the DOT gets involved in that. So I think we were at a meeting, there was there 20 people from traffic of municipality, DOT. So it has met all of those standards with the existing roads, and they even go out, I think, 10 years. So we've met all of those standards. But I think, you know, kind of a more important thing is that it's going to be kind of a really a beacon on the campus for attraction of people, community people from outside of that maybe don't visit the university on the regular basis. They may go to Wendy Williamson. They may occasionally go to the library. And recently, they may have gone to Wells Fargo and not found a parking space. I know that the plans for the new engineering building that's, I think, coming online, that's going to be in the Wells Fargo parking lot. So parking
even
is
less parking. As a frequent university visitor, I have to say the parking is
a concern.
Keeps me away.
Yeah. And so that's addressed. And of course, the design of the spine within the university itself, all the way from Rasmussen Hall, all the way to the library, I think in the future can take on some other possibilities, mm-hmm. you know, even discussed, although this isn't part of the plan, is perhaps at some point connecting the spine over to the arena. So that maybe that's a possibility, too, that you could park in the Wells Fargo near Rasmussen Hall and then transit through the spine to an event, an indoor walk as opposed to an outdoor walk. I want to make sure that was an idea that's discussed. It's not a part of this
possibility,
plan. But
right.
I know that the folks involved in planning for the university have looked at that, and that's why this site represents a tremendous opportunity. The proximity to the dorms is really terrific. You know, to have more students have the ability to be able to come to events, utilize the facility for recreation, makes a lot of sense too.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, Steve Nerland, as a community member who unlike Dr. Cobb doesn't have a boss who he has to maybe listening. Is the future of the, if you think about the university, it's been on this wooded campus, and we've come to think of it as being an area with ski trails and lakes and woods and kind of almost more than that than buildings. But as time has passed, we've got more and more buildings have spread out, and it seems like those two sort of visions, they're not 100% compatible. And if you want to build a recreation center and a track facility and a big arena and then all the other academic buildings that are needed, how do you see this area ending up? Is it sort of become more urban over time?
Well, I think it's important to maintain the feel that the campus has in terms of trails, ski trails, and walking availability, because that's, after all, college campuses are known for that because students don't drive everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as we go into the future, the land that's a part of the whether you call it Bergaugh Extension, Elmore Extension, a number of those areas have to be preserved. But for student growth and community growth, I think those areas have to be looked at, but looked at with the eye of making sure that we preserve some things. But
mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, for that area of town, we have Kincaid Park for cross country. We have Chugiak. We have the South End and Service area, Hillside. But we don't really have anything in Midtown area. So maybe as a part, one of the visions I have, just again, this is just me, is that a student recreation center would have a tremendous trail opportunity for both running and skiing as a part of it. And I'd really think that would be in the area that in Midtown Anchorage, mm-hmm. if you could have that as a part of it, wow, what a great thing for our community.
Sort of the chalet, indoor
yes.
warm-up area kind
Absolutely.
Of thing. How do you personally come down on this Elmore Bergaugh extension thing? Is that, that's a pretty big issue for somebody who supports the university.
Right. Well, I think the parties have to agree of the importance of it. I think the land is UAA land.
Mm-hmm.
So UAA is going to be a significant player in that. I think that.
Do you think it's needed?
Well, I think that personally, I think it is needed. I think it has to be done correctly. And I think to shoot a big freeway through there, no, I don't think that makes a lot of sense. I think there's a way it can be transited. I think from a business person standpoint, too, the growth of the UMed district and the continued vibrancy of that area, that is also, I believe, dependent on that extension. But again, I think it has to be done right. And community input, the university's input being first, because it is all university land
right.
that goes through there. So the university, and of course they'll have to decide, you know, between the state and the city and all of the other folks, how it's done. But I'd like to see if there's going to be a student recreation center, a tremendous opportunity for trails and cross country and a chalet there that's a part of it. Again, more opportunities to bring the community onto the university campus.
All right. I've got a question now from a listener who's contacted us by email, going back to sort of the facilities questions for Dr. Cobb, the athletic director. Why not place ice under the basketball floor, thus having a multi-purpose facility like many university and professional programs? This listener asks.
Yes, I think I recognize this caller, but you know, one of the decisions we made is we did not want a multi-purpose building years ago, and there's a number of reasons for that. First and foremost, when you build completely multi-purpose, you serve a lot of things poorly and nothing very well. Our basketball seasons and our hockey seasons happen at the same time. We simply couldn't afford the conversions. We couldn't make the scheduling. It was looked at length. We thought it was not the optimal solution for us. And so our plan was to have separate venues, and I believe it's the correct decision. People assume sometimes that we didn't look at certain things, but we did. And we have to be aware of cost because it's so expensive. And right now at the Sullivan Arena, I believe it cost them $14,000 to convert, either to go from ice to basketball or basketball back to ice. And you start looking over the games in the course of season and project out a few years, and it just didn't make sense for us. But I can assure all the listeners out there, our ice hockey team has not been forgotten, and we're aware of their needs, and things are being addressed now along those lines. Not a lot we can talk about yet, but people will be hearing from us in the very near future. It's a need we're going to address, and quite frankly, our chancellor is committed to addressing that problem as well. So, yeah, I've always said it's not news when the athletic director wants new facilities. It's news when the university does. And so the university, part of the deal, this facility, it's been a tremendous educational opportunity. We really were surprised at how many people did not know what our problems were, and shame on us for that. We should have been doing a better job over the years communicating that. But people came and visited and toured our facilities, and 100% of the time they left supporting and knowing our needs. And so we might have dropped the ball a little bit, waiting too long, just assuming everybody knew what our problems were, when it turned out a lot of people didn't.
Well, we're talking about the new sports center arena that's going up on the UAA campus. And my two guests are Dr. Steve Cobb, the athletic director at UAA, and Steve Nerland, who has been a longtime supporter of the facility and of the programs. And has had a hand in rounding up the money that's been needed so this building can start going up this fall. We're down into the last few minutes of the program, but if you have a question, you can still get it in at 550-8433. hometown@alaskapublic.org is the email address. And I guess the money is in line. You're already in the design process. Is there still time left for public involvement or comments, or have you kind of gotten past that point where you can incorporate people's desires or input?
Well, we always enjoy communicating with anybody in Seawolf Nation. We stay pretty well connected. This project's been going a long time. We started years ago visiting with every community council and answering those questions, and we've had people involved. Right now, the design is way, way down the road. There's not many changes to be made, and anything you make now is significant. But we hear constantly through our website, through Facebook, through emails, through phone calls. Seawolf Athletics invoke a lot of passion.
You get plenty of information.
And people they aren't shy about their opinions, and we weigh them all. And it's real simple. We are the current caretakers of Seawolf Athletics. We're not going to be here in the future. We weren't here 30 years ago. So We know it's our job to make decisions that's in the best interest of our university, and that usually means making decisions in the best interest of our students and how they can be served. And that's what we try to use as our guidepost. It's not a personal business we're running. Mm-hmm. We are caretakers, and it's a responsibility we take very seriously. And we don't do things lightly, particularly when you start talking about spending $100 million on a capital project. Right. It's been well thought out.
Who is the architect, a local firm or outside?
We're losing McCool and Carlson as our mm-hmm. local architect, and the outside firm is a firm out of St. Louis that does almost exclusively college recreation athletic facilities called Hastings and Chevetta. And I think people would find their website pretty interesting as well. Hastings and Chevetta out of St. Louis. They're very good.
We'll put up a link to that. And the construction contractor?
That has not gone out to bid yet. That will go out this fall. And I have no idea who that may be.
So there's still time for a nasty surprise when you get to open the bid envelopes.
Well, I don't think so. We've been pretty thorough in checking our numbers. This is a extraordinarily serious. This is like a parachute jump. You have to get it right the first time. So yeah. We feel pretty confident in what we've done and how we're going forward.
Steve Nerland?
Well, Charles, one of the things that I mentioned briefly, but you know, without the help of our legislative leaders and Governor Parnell, we wouldn't have the funding for this. So obviously, we had, as Dr. Cobb mentioned, we had a number of different tours over the last couple of years, bringing in legislative leaders as well as staff, and brought this the idea about the need for this UAA community arena to them, and we had broad-based support. Throughout the state, it wasn't just Anchorage driven. There are many legislators in many places that recognize what we have here is totally inadequate. So, you know, it really is their responsibility. They helped put the Proposition B together, and we thank them for their vision to move this forward. As I mentioned, Representative Stoltz, Senator Ellis, Senator Meyer. I mean, there's a lot of legislators that have came on board and helped bring this through the capital budgeting process, through Proposition B, and we don't want to not forget them,
right?
Because that's where the funding comes from. Governor approved all of that funding and didn't veto any of it, so we appreciate that.
We're in some of our largest capital budgets of all time, I guess, or some of the biggest for a long time anyway, so it's a good time to request that money from Juno.
It is, and you know, I guess the other thing is, you know, when I say things about the capital budget, as long as the project is viable for our community, is it better to build that project, create the jobs, and then create the facilities that we're going to serve our students and our community, or is it better to not build it? And I think the answer for me is to build it. Mm-hmm. And to we believe that the project is going to come in on budget. That's a really important factor for future things. And I know that the university folks are working to make sure that happens.
Do you run into resistance in Juneau from Fairbanks legislators or from the desire of Fairbanks? I mean, in years past, there was a sense that anytime Anchorage got something, it was taking away from Fairbanks being the main campus. And I'm just interested in if that rivalry still exists.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's always going to be rivalries on the rinks and the courts between UAF and UAA. But we had good support. The Proposition B gathered together the Life Science Building in Fairbanks, which was a longtime project, on the books and really never got funded. And so Proposition B was involved. The Kenai Peninsula College dorms, which again has been part of the plan, UAA's and KPC's plan for years, it was funded as a part of Proposition B. So when Proposition B passed by nearly a 60% margin, I think there will always be naysayers no matter what, but certainly the leadership up at UAF and the university system recognized that this was a need, and our legislative leaders followed through with that with funding from this capital budget, and again, very appreciative of all of them for doing so.
All right. I've now got a question here from a listener for Dr. Cobb, and I need Dr. Cobb first to translate it for me. I have to admit, I'm not a big, super avid sports fan, more of a participant, I guess. But this person Jason is looking for a silver lining in the end of WCHA. Women's College Hockey Association?
No, that's the Western Collegiate Hockey Association, of which we are a member and have been since 93.
I see.
You know, silver lining's tough to find. It's tough. All of the athletic landscapes in college sports has been changing, and hockey has drawn a pass until this year, and then everything is got turned upside down. The silver lining for me is we're going to come out, we're going to be competing against schools more like ourselves. You know, we've been competing against Minnesota and Wisconsin. These are programs that have 15, 16,000 seat venues. They make about $4 million a year. Mm-hmm. Their budget is through the roof, and schools like us can't play at that level, and it makes a really tough competitive situation. Now, we've had our share of success over the years, and recently we just swept Minnesota, but night in, night out, the WCHA was probably the toughest grind I've ever seen in college athletics in any sport. The new WCHA.
It's just too hard to put up a winning record when you're playing it at a level that's above your standard.
When people are outspending you by that much money, it's tough. It's not anything remotely close to parity. Mm-hmm. Our new league likely is going to have teams a lot more similar, dealing with similar budgets, similar recruiting base, similar everything. I think it's going to be extraordinarily competitive hockey. I think it's going to be good. I think from a other than just the glamour of the big teams, the competition of the games, I think our fans are going to enjoy as much or better. And we're still going to have those big schools up for the Classic, and we're still going to run into them in the playoffs because we firmly believe our program is headed to be a playoff contender. And so, you know what? You have a chance to play, and you play. And that's my main concern right now, is to protect our team so we have a league in which to play in, and then we'll try to win that league, and then good things can happen from there.
Can you name some of the schools we would be playing?
Well, as of today, we just voted formally. Northern Michigan has joined us. So the WCHA, beginning in the year 2013, will be Bemidji State, Michigan Tech, UAA, Mankato or Minnesota State, St. Cloud, and Northern Michigan. And I will tell you that Alaska Fairbanks has indicated an interest in joining, and they have been discussed somewhat positively at this point. We're certainly going to help support getting them in the league. We would like to play them more, and I think there's a very good chance that UAF and UAA could be in the WCHA together and by the year 2013. But I think within a month, we're going to know whether or not they've gotten that invitation, and we're certainly going to work hard to try to get them in the league.
There's the second half of Jason's question is, what will the athletic department do to promote a more populated and interactive fan experience? I guess he's concerned that not enough people are going to the games, or I'm not quite sure what he means by populated. But
you know, we look all the time at ways to enhance the experience.
Make it more fun.
Yeah, and you can't get around the fact, you know what, our attendance is down from what it once was, and you know, it's the bottom line is we have to do a better job. We haven't won enough, and we've done a lot of things to improve our program, and under Coach Shiacks, we've had steady, gradual improvement, and we think that's going to continue. I'd point out that we did win 5 straight WCHA road games last year, which is no small feat, and with a young team, so we're excited.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Dr. Steve Cobb, Athletic Director at UAA, Steve Nerland, leader of Complete the Arena. It's been an interesting show, and I really appreciate your presence. Coming up next week, join Shelley Wade, one of your new Hometown Alaska hosts, for a discussion on pets. You can join us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Alaska Public. You can also check us out on our new website, alaskapublic.org. Pat Yak is the Vice President of Public Media. Kristen Speck engineered today's program. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.